Let me say, first of all, like others, I do want to thank all the people who've really, really worked so hard to make this such a really interesting occasion. I think it's the fact that so many of people are still here. And absolutely beautifully organised, as I would expect in my good old University of Glasgow. But others were involved learning and teaching, and of course the work that Issa has done. We talk about UNESCO, but we really mean one human being when it's in Scotland, and that's her, and I think she deserves it. I do want to say one or two things. I was moaning to Issa and saying she cut me short in my prime. I think Bridget's long CV took away from my time. So I'm not going to say very much, but I will add to my written piece of stuff for the thing something about women, because I feel the gender issue is so important, and it's just not a bee in my bonnet. It is particularly important now, and I think this came out from just my quick glance at the gender discussions, that I think we all know that this time of recession, the public service cuts are going to hit women disproportionately. And so we have to think very seriously about what's going to happen to many, many women in this country who are going to lose their jobs, lose their self-valuation, and really be left bereft, particularly if the benefit system gets cut as well. And we all know, particularly those of us in this city, the number of women who are already at a disadvantage, and the numbers will go up enormously because of what's happening right now. And so I think we do have to worry. I had one or two points about gender which I will write down and I won't say now, but I just want to say that it's really quite extraordinary that there was a forum. I don't know if any of you saw the UNESCO Literacy Forum. And to my amazement, nearly all of the people who contributed, my fault I didn't contribute, they were all men like Harbans, Bola and people, and they were all saying how terrible it was that all the men were not getting proper access to literacy. Gave me a bit of a shock, but there you are. So, I mean, seriously, there are many issues, and one of the issues I think will come out in something I want to say next. I do want, very, very briefly, because I only had few moments to look at the summaries of what's been said, but in order to give a small platform for all of us going away and thinking of the future of literacies in Scotland, I've tried to summarise one or two points. First of all, I think we have to start with people. I'm going to do the old journalist thing of who, what and how. I'm not going to say the where, really. And the who, first of all, the central person is the literacy learner. And I think we have to start, whatever we do, we must start for the literacy learners' own motivation and own cultural backgrounds. And very often we forget this, and it's obviously the case that sometimes that there won't be a congruence between the learner's own motivation and their own purposes for learning and the aims of the facilitators. I interviewed a maidservant in South Africa, and she went to the literacy class because her mistress wanted her to be able to take telephone messages, but she went to the literacy class so she could write a Christmas card to her son in Johannesburg saying, "I love you." Totally, no congruence at all between the motives of the provider and the recipient. But so long as they both converged, it worked out. And many times that the outcomes of literacy work will be quite different from what the facilitators expect, particularly when there is, as we hope, an impact among groups and communities. Secondly, about the who, the other part of the who is all of us, the facilitators and the providers. And the word which kept coming up and kept coming up is the word partnership. And the second phrase which kept coming up is the phrase shared goals. And I think that's easily said. It's not quite so easily achieved, but I think it's important that we all go away with our own motivation for perhaps better partnership and better understanding of the different kinds of agents and actors and what they're doing. I know it's not easy. I remember Strathclyde, we had, when we had the Strathclyde continuing education panel, and there were 70 of us representing 70 different organisations. So it turned out to be a fairly useless exercise. too many of us. But the real point is that I think we do need to think of partnerships, perhaps sometimes different from the ones we've known. I mean, I myself was surprised and inspired when I discovered the Glasgow Women's Library, for instance, and I saw around the table a young woman of Chinese origin, some people who'd obviously got their single parents and so on, sitting there amid these sort of heaps of books in a rather dilapidated area of the city down near the Tron. And I'd never heard of them, and I felt that was my fault. I never knew they even existed, and yet they're doing something which nobody else in Glasgow is doing. So I think we have to look in this way and look at different partnerships. And that came out of what you said. Now then, also, when we're thinking of the us as providers and facilitators, I think we have to remember two things from our speakers today. Adama reminded us that even in developed countries there are pockets of deprivation, and Michael gave a very eloquent plea about the people who are the deprived and the dispossessed and the poor. And one of your groups said we shouldn't just think of that 1 in 28 because they're in danger of being forgotten. If it's 1 in 28, they might get entirely ignored. Better to think of the quarter of the population of Scotland that at some point is not going to have enough literacy skills, appropriate literacy skills for survival. And I think that's probably something we should really underline. And you see, although obviously the kind of survey that Ralph and his colleagues did was Scotland-wide, remember that word pockets that Adama used. And for instance, I was talking to an old friend of mine who's working near the famous Red Road flats. And she says that she's dealing, among the people she is dealing with, there are 48 different languages spoken. Well, that is a different world from the other kind of world that the people sitting in elegant offices in Edinburgh think about. So that's something about the who, the learners, and those of us who are going to assist them to empower themselves. Then quickly the what. Well, we had some discussion, and that came up in the groups about definitions and discourse and about attitudes to definition. And I think, you see, it's interesting that we're used now to talking of the idea of literacies, but there's still a lot of people around in policy-making positions, and even, I fear, in some of the teaching institutions who just think of literacy as a single homogeneous competence, which it isn't. So that came out. That was a message from your group. And we must remember that literacy learning is not an analogue of schooling. You don't only come to a literacy class or learn to read and write or do your numeracy sitting in rows of horrible benches like this, seating like this, and with a table and somebody standing up in front of you. There are all kinds of arenas, probably far better and more comfortable than the schooling kind of analogue. So remember that literacy learning is not the same and that it can take place in every kind of arena. Now then, about curricula, we didn't actually mention that much, but Adama did remind us of what he called thematic competencies. And I think that's quite a good way to come at it, and some of the groups did come at it. We have, when I was working with a group called Womankind Worldwide, and we developed four ideas of four sorts of thematic competency for literacy. We had word literacy, which was the basic empowering. We had money literacy, to enable people both to handle and understand all the things to do with money and economics. We had health and well-being literacy, and we had civic literacy. And I was glad that both Michael in his talk and two of the groups talking about well-being, and one of them said, and I think that was very important about health and well-being, that health and well-being particularly, it's important that people have the confidence and self-confidence. If people are too scared, as somebody said, to go to Nine Wells Hospital because there's too many labels that they can't read, they're never going to start. So literacy is intimately related to health and well-being. So that's thematic kind of looking at it. And then we were talking in terms of some of the prejudices, inter-community prejudices that there may be, and some of these are male-female. And one of the groups said, and I thought it was very sensible, that maybe somewhere, some curricula should look at the issues for young men of relationships with women and gender issues, which doesn't often get thought about. So that's that. That's the the what. Now, what about the how? Well, everybody put in very large letters, resources. And, of course, the first thing is money, but there's also the technology, the equipment, and other sorts of supports. And I don't want to be boring, but I remember President Kaunda always said, well, Zambia doesn't have much money, but its main resource is its people. You've got to have the money, but really the resource ultimately has to be good human resources as well. So I think we should at least not discourage ourselves by remembering that resources are not only budgets, they are other things. Then lastly, about coming from the groups, we had some thoughts about impact, and impact, of course, is a buzzword among our present pastors and masters, and we maybe have to be careful how the discourse is used. But I think we do have to remember that it's important both for the learners and for getting the money that we actually do pay attention to what achievements the learners produce. And one of the groups said we must recognize learners' achievements. So I think that's extremely important. And I think in doing that, in looking at, quote, impact, I think we should really take account of what César said. I think his warnings and his principles are absolutely wonderful basis for any of us when we're thinking in terms of impact and follow-up. And then lastly, in this part, and I just briefly want to say something about the future, remember what I said earlier, and I repeat, that empowerment is a beginning and not an end. Empowerment is giving people the opportunity to get the basic self-confidence which will enable them to move on. Now, lastly, I should just say a word about future, because that's what it said on the programme I was to say. But I thought it was more important to feed back to you what all your groups, and I've tried to give a distillation of what came out of all your 12 groups. I think I'm quite a genius to have done that. But no, jokes apart, I have tried to distill it for you. Against odds. But first of all, about the future, one of the things that I think we've had by having this wonderful international team here today is that I hope it will remind us that all of us working in literacy here, we have to have some sense of solidarity with a wider world. Remember the lovely, eloquent remarks that Michael made about the relationships of Africa to Scotland, and I think this is something which should inspire us and make us think that we still have exchange to make. And I do want to say something that perhaps Michael couldn't say, that actually I found when I came back from Africa to work in this country, I felt this country was about 50 years behind in its attempts to provide good literacy programs. Because people who've had little resources, have had to struggle for generations, have produced all kinds of methods and ideas which I don't think we pay enough attention to. And I would like to suggest that in the solidarity, it's not a question of saying we're going to send one of our students to spend 6 weeks in Dar es Salaam. It's a question of saying we want to learn how we can do this particular kind of activity and are there better ways of doing it than we have thought of in our little Scotland, when there's a whole continent out there. Never mind César's continent of Latin America, never mind Asia that we haven't touched on at all. And this is not just about sentiment, but it's also about it's practical because of the new global communications. We cannot live in a world of just Scotland now. We are connected in so many ways. I happened to have been not long ago at a family funeral of a young man who died in his 30s who was a computer expert. The chief mourner, and the funeral was in Colchester, down in England. The chief mourner was in California and had never met him. Well, that is kind of terrifying, but it also is a dramatic illustration of the kind of communications we now have, which are not always communications in a local group. They're communications across worlds, and that's something to bear in mind. Then let me come to policies. And as the message came out, gender, I think, always has to be a factor. And again, as I've said, bear in mind the impact of the funding restrictions. But don't ever leave gender out of the policies. Don't ever let us leave out those deprived, those people in places like the Red Road flats or some of those deprived areas up in Aberdeen where people really have nothing and are living up against very rich people and who are It's funny to me that a lot of people who have different colours, who we notice them in the street because they look different, but we don't notice them at all when it comes to provision for such things as literacy. And I think we have to be very, very sure that we do not leave out the deprived and the oppressed people. It's enormously important. Then somebody had a lovely suggestion for a policy, which I loved. I don't know how it will come about, but I thought it was a lovely idea that every adult in Scotland should have a training sabbatical, including homemakers. They gave some specific statistics of how to do it, which I won't go into, but I thought that was a lovely new vision, isn't it? Everybody in Scotland to have a training sabbatical. And we don't mean just Alex Salmond and Mike Russell. We mean everybody. The young woman, a single parent who's never had a chance of anything, have that kind of a chance. That, I thought, was an inspirational idea that came out of the groups. And then lastly, we sit here in universities. If we're going to look at the future, we're going to have to say, aren't we, that the future will be better shaped and policies will be better shaped if some of us are paid to do some more research. But the serious part of it is that research has to be an integral part of this. I'm very happy that we had Professor Brian Street here today. He's been very modest and keeping a very low profile. But he is one of the, if you look in Britain now, he is one of the giants of literacy's research. And he, in fact, it's owing to him, really, that I think we got the whole notion of the variety of literacies and the whole notion of embedding literacy into social conditions. So I'm really delighted you were here and that you were able to come up here, Brian. Well, thank you all very much. What I've tried to say, mostly of what I've said now, is not from me, it's from you. You've brought this out of your discussion groups, and I think it makes a really interesting and really quite a coherent group of ideas and suggestions to carry forward. And having said that, let me say again, thank you to everybody involved, and thank you to all for coming, and I hope that we go away energized and really ready to sort of start again. I think sometimes we begin to feel a bit jaded in our work, but as I say, I think there is something important in solidarity and in having a chance to mull over some of our ideas and challenges in a peaceful environment like this. So all the very best of luck, and I hope when we meet again we'll have more successes to report. Thank you.
I'm Kath Hamilton from LTS, and just on behalf of the organising group, I'd like to thank Lalaji very much for being a genius. I'd like to thank all of our speakers for such interesting and stimulating inputs, and just to reiterate the thanks to you for being here today, for still being here on a Friday afternoon, and safe journey home. Thank you.